From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, just dreaming, sitting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 14th of December, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. How do you like that? On Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 14th of December, 2015. The focus of this program is politics and music. I will explain. Segment one, live in studio and recorded. A Spectrum 360 coverage of the United Nations Climate Summit talks and the historic agreement at the COP21 talks. That's the Conference on Parties 21 that concluded Saturday, 12 December 2015, with an historic agreement between almost 200 countries. Co-host Terry Weeks will lead this segment, and she has coverage of the historic climate change agreement. We'll also have excerpts from speeches by President Obama and U.S. Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders on this issue and the agreement. And we've also got a joke about the climate change by President Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner from earlier this year. That's very funny. We're going to play all of that, plus a brief comment by Rachel Maddow on the climate. So all that in segment one. And then segment two. Live in studio and recorded, a Spectrum 360 review of the extraordinary concert by U2 in Paris, France, on Monday, the 7th of December, 2015. That was last week on Monday, a week ago today, at the Bercy Arena in Paris, France. This was a great concert that was rescheduled from Saturday, the 14th of November, 2015, due to the Paris, France terrorist attacks on Friday, the 13th of November, just the day before the concert was scheduled to be conducted. And this constitutes the U2 band's response to the terrorist attacks. Spectrum 360 will do a review and have excerpts from the concert and will feature U2 in two songs. You'll hear the studio version of the song Pride in the Name of Love and in the new Paris, France live version of the song Bullet the Blue Sky. This is the best live version of Bullet the Blue Sky I have ever heard. It's definitely better even than the live version that was released in the late 80s on the classic double vinyl album Rattle and Hum by U2. Enjoy. And then segment three, recorded the Jim Hightower commentary for this edition of Spectrum 360 on the subject of the prosecution of John Blankenship, the CEO of Massey Energy, the coal company. And that's going to be great.
Hear how Don Blankenship turned his name into a four-letter word today on Hightower Radio.
And then segment four, from the Florida Fracking Summit, from Tuesday, the 27th of October, 2015, in Fort Myers, Florida, a speech by Katie Huffling, registered nurse and director of programs at the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, on fracking, the environment, and human health. This is important information. Please listen. This is part three of the Katie Huffling speech from that great Florida Fracking Summit. We're still working on getting videos posted of the summit. There's a huge number of them that are going to be posted, and that will be great. Check the Spectrum 360 radio program Facebook website, and you'll get more information on that as they become available for viewing. We are going to omit the song from the CD Sing It Down, Volume 2, Songs to Close the School of America's, in honor of the School of America's Watch Organization 25th anniversary. We'll continue with the School of America's Watch songs on next week's program. We've just got so many segments to do in this program, we just didn't have time for it on this program. But we will continue that next week. So that's what's going on this program. And then on next week's Spectrum 360, the news summary, ongoing coverage of the Florida Fracking Summit. Of course, we'll have an SOA Watch 25th anniversary song, the Jim Hightower commentary. Also, we're going to start covering the speech by Richard Wolff, the famous economist, from Tuesday, the 10th of November, 2015, when he spoke at the Palladium in St. Petersburg. Great speech. Got a lot of great ideas and a very interesting take on the economy and capitalism, etc., etc., etc. Richard Wolff is a very interesting and very intelligent man. You should read his latest book. I think co-host Terry Weeks has started to read that. Have you started to read that book, Terry?
Just barely started it. It looks really interesting, and I'm looking forward to getting into it more.
Yes, so am I. I haven't had time to start reading it, but I'll probably steal my co-host's copy and read that. Oh, did
oh,
I say that?
Oh, really?
Fair warning. So that's the program, and that's what's on next week's program. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program. And also remember the Spectrum 360 podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com, scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link, click on it, choose the program date of your choice, listen to Spectrum 360. And we'll start segment one in just a little while.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
This is
Segment one on the United Nations Climate Summit meeting in Paris, France, and the historic climate change agreement. Co-host Terry Weeks leads this segment.
Negotiators from the nearly 200 countries gathered in Paris Saturday reached what many are calling the world's most significant agreement to address climate change since the issue first emerged as a major political priority decades ago. The deal requires that any country that ratifies it to act to stem its greenhouse gas emissions in the coming century, with the goal of peaking greenhouse gas emissions, quote, as soon as possible, and continuing the reductions as the century progresses. Countries will aim to keep global temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees centigrade by 2100, with an ideal target of keeping temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius. The deal also will encourage trillions of dollars of capital to be spent adapting to the effects of climate change, including infrastructure like seawalls and programs to deal with poor soil, and developing renewable energy sources like wind and solar power. The text of the agreement also includes a provision requiring developed countries to send $100 billion annually to their developing counterparts beginning in 2020. That figure will be a floor that's expected to increase over time. President Barack Obama praised the agreement, saying it could be a turning point for the world. The Paris Agreement, he said, establishes the enduring framework the world needs to solve the climate crisis. It creates the mechanism, the architecture, for us to continually tackle this problem in an effective way. While he praised American leadership, he noted that all participating nations will have to cooperate. I believe this moment can be a turning point for the world, Obama said, calling the agreement the best chance to save the one planet that we've got. Others, however, disagree. Former NASA scientist James Hansen, considered the father of global climate change awareness, called the agreement a fraud. He criticized the agreement for its lack of specific binding strategies to force emissions down. Hansen is correct in stating that the agreement is lacking in specifics. It does not mandate exactly how each country must reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. Rather, it sets up a system whereby each country sets its own goal and then must explain how it intends to reach that goal. Every 5 years, nations will be required to assess their progress toward meeting their climate commitments and submit new plans to strengthen them. The reporting elements of the agreement are binding, but the setting of emissions targets for any individual country are non-binding. Hansen continues to advocate for an across-the-board tax on greenhouse gas emissions. He says this is the only way to force emissions down fast enough to avoid the worst ravages of climate change. Author and activist Naomi Klein also criticized the COP21 agreement, saying that the announced commitments from the parties to the agreement are inadequate to maintain just a 2-degree level of warming. But Secretary of State John Kerry defended the agreement. He stated that, I understand the criticism of the agreement because it doesn't have a mandatory scheme and it doesn't have a compliance mechanism. That's true. But, he said, we have 186 countries for the first time in history, all submitting independent plans that they have laid down, which are real, for reducing emissions. And what it does, in my judgment, more than anything else, there is a uniform standard of transparency, and therefore we'll know what everybody is doing. The result, according to Kerry, will be a very clear signal to the marketplace of the world that people are moving into low carbon, no carbon, alternative renewable energy. And I think it's going to create millions of jobs, enormous investment in R&D, and that R&D is going to produce the solutions, not the government. Kumi Naidu of Greenpeace claimed that even if the wheel of climate action turns slowly, it at least had turned in Paris. There's much in this deal that frustrates and disappoints me, but it is still putting the fossil fuel industry squarely on the wrong side of history. What happens next? Individual countries now must ratify or approve the agreement in their respective countries. And the agreement won't enter into force until 55 countries have ratified it. Those nations must account for 55% of total global greenhouse gas emissions. So clearly the largest two emitters, the U.S. and China, must be among those ratifying the agreement. The Obama administration maintains that because of the way the agreement has been drafted, it does not need to be submitted to the Senate. But no doubt congressional Republicans will do everything possible to sabotage the agreement. Once again, the administration is all too eager for the international community to review its commitments even before revealing those commitments to the American people, said Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, chair of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. So the international community has made a step forward in addressing the climate crisis. But how big a step remains to be seen.
Terry Weeks, very good. That was excellent. I appreciate your good reporting on this subject.
Ah, you're good.
Very good. Now, we're also going to feature two excerpts from speeches by President Obama and U.S. Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. They're both approximately 2 minutes long, and this will give you a sense of what their reactions to this agreement were. You can go to Facebook and go to Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and you can find the links to watch both of these speeches in their entirety. They're both about 7 minutes long in their entirety and too long to play on this program. So we're giving you about 2 minutes of each speech to give you the sense of what their reactions were like. First is President Obama, and this is 2 minutes, 20 seconds.
In my first inaugural address, I committed this country to the tireless task of combating climate change and protecting this planet for future generations. 2 weeks ago in Paris, I said before the world that we needed a strong global agreement to accomplish this goal. An enduring agreement that reduces global carbon pollution and sets the world on a course to a low-carbon future. A few hours ago, we succeeded. We came together around the strong agreement the world needed. We met the moment. I want to commend President Hollande and Secretary General Baum for their leadership and for hosting such a successful summit, and French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius for presiding with patience and resolve. And I want to give a special thanks to Secretary John Kerry, my senior advisor Brian Deese, our chief negotiator Todd Stern, and everyone on their teams for their outstanding work and for making America proud. I also want to thank the people of nearly 200 nations, large and small, developed and developing, for working together to confront a threat to the people of all nations. Together we've shown what's possible when the world stands as one. Today the American people can be proud because this historic agreement is a tribute to American leadership. Over the past 7 years, we've transformed the United States into the global leader in fighting climate change. In 2009, we helped salvage a chaotic Copenhagen summit and establish the principle that all countries had a role to play in combating climate change. We then led by example with historic investments in growing industries like wind and solar, creating a new and steady stream of middle-class jobs. We've set the first ever nationwide standards to limit the amount of carbon pollution power plants can dump into the air our children breathe. From Alaska to the Gulf Coast to the Great Plains, we've partnered with local leaders who are working to help their communities protect themselves from some of the most immediate impacts of a changing climate.
And that's President Obama's reaction to the world passing the climate treaty as the first step at the COP21 in Paris, France.
You can't just wish and hope for something to come true. You have to make it happen.
And notification of full disclosure, the Spectrum 360 editorial committee has endorsed Bernie Sanders for U.S. president in this election cycle. And I want to make sure that that is disclosed. This is also an excerpt from a Bernie Sanders speech addressing the same subject. This is 2 minutes, 14 seconds.
That as we speak, there is a major, major international conference winding down in Paris dealing with climate change. I believe that they have made some progress, but I believe that they have not gone anywhere near as far as we have to go. And here's the simple truth. And I speak to you as a member of both the Energy Committee and the Environmental Committee, somebody who's had the opportunity to speak to scientists not only all over our country, but all over the world. And this is what the almost unanimous conclusion of the scientific community is. Climate change is real. Climate change is caused by human activity. And climate change is already today causing massive problems in our country and around the world. That is not my opinion. That is not my opinion. That is the opinion of virtually the entire scientific community. And I believe that Pope Francis is right when he recently stated that if we don't get our act together, we are moving as a planet on a suicidal cause, in a suicidal direction. So what do we have to do? And by the way, let me congratulate all of you here in Iowa, because you are some of the leaders in this country in helping us to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to sustainable energy. And I applaud you for being one of the leaders, if not the leader in the country. 29%, as I understand it, of your electricity now comes from wind. And you are certainly one of the leaders nationally and internationally in terms of biofuels. Keep up the great work.
Okay, that was a statement by Bernie Sanders. Remember, you can go to facebook.com, Spectrum 360 radio program, and find the links for the videos of those speeches in their entirety. They're both about 7 minutes long. And here's a joke on the same subject by President Obama. You're going to have to love this one. This is a favorite of Spectrum 360.
Focus on billionaire donors creates real problems for our democracy.
And that's why we run it for a third term!
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Who said that?
But we do need to stay focused on some big challenges, like climate change.
Hey, listen, y'all, if you haven't noticed, California is bone dry. It looks like a trailer for the new Mad Max movie up in there. Y'all think that Bradley Cooper came here because he wants to talk to Chuck Todd? He needed a glass of water. Come on.
The science is clear. The science is clear. 9 out of the 10 hottest years ever came in the last decade.
Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know how to count to 10.
Rising seas, more violent storms.
You got mosquitoes, sweaty people on the train stinking it up. It's just nasty.
I mean, look at what's happening right now. Every serious scientist says we need to act. The Pentagon says it's a national security risk. Miami floods on a sunny day, and instead of doing anything about it, we've got elected officials throwing snowballs in the Senate.
Okay, Mr. I think I got it, bro.
It is crazy. What about our kids? What kind of stupid, short-sighted, irresponsible bull?
Whoa! Hey!
What? Okay, no, hey!
What?
All due respect, sir, you don't need an anger translator. You need counseling. So I'm out of here, man. I ain't trying to get into all this.
Go.
July 2015, July itself, turns out to be the single hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Ta-da. In the history of keeping records of Earth's average temperatures, no month has ever been hotter than this past month. We did it. But remember, global warming is a hoax, easily disproven by the fact that it still sometimes snows in the winter. So pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data.
That was, of course, the great Rachel Maddow, and before that, President Obama from the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Tell us how you really feel, Mr. President.
Yeah, I just love that routine. That was just masterful. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen at a White House Correspondents' Dinner, and so appropriate, too. That was just hilarious. So that's the takes of President Obama, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, and Rachel Maddow on the problem and the crisis, and great reporting by Terry Weeks as well.
Thank you.
On to the next segment, and segment two is a review of this spectacular and extraordinary concert in Paris at the Bercy Arena by the Irish band U2. Wow. Now, U2 had two concerts scheduled in Paris last month in November, They were on Saturday, the 14th of November, and Sunday, the 15th of November. And, of course, on Friday, the 13th of November, the Paris, Florida terrorist attacks happened. 128 people were killed, and those concerts were, of course, canceled very prudently. But U2 vowed to come back to Paris as soon as they could and perform those concerts as a service to the people of Paris and as a statement to the terrorists and complete their spectacular Innocence and Experience tour 2015 in Paris. And they did that. We scheduled the concerts for a week ago today. It was Monday, the 7th of December. That was Monday of last week. That was the Pearl Harbor Day, the 74th anniversary of Pearl Harbor that day. And it was a spectacular concert. They had this long proscenium stage that came out and basically bisected the audience on the floor. It was shaped like a thermometer with a big round small stage at the end of it. And the band played on the stage, and they also played on this proscenium stage quite a ways into the crowd at this little round stage. It was at the end of this long aisle that they walked out to. And above this structure were these large video screens that ran the length of the aisle above them, so it faced to the left and to the right of the stage. So just about everyone in the audience had these view of these great video screens. And they had people that had been on stage with them before come, just ordinary people, and about 20 of them got on stage with the band at one point. They were invited to do so. And at another point, Bono was handed a French flag by a member of the audience. This was in Paris, France, of course. He took the flag and actually put it over his shoulder and then put it on the front of Larry Mullen Jr.'s drum set, draped it over the drums, and then the white stripe in the middle of the flag was right over the bass drum, and every time Larry Mullen Jr. played his bass drum, it made the white part of the flag poof out because it was being percussed by the air from the drums. So the white part of the flag was pulsating with the rhythm of the bass drum as it was struck by Larry Mullen Jr., the drummer of U2. Just great. And also the band actually came down to that small stage and played way out in the crowd on that little round stage at the end of the aisle that bisected the floor of the audience. Played out there and then went back to the main stage. And also for the last two songs, they were joined by the band The Eagles of Death Metal, which was the band that was playing at the Bataclan Music Theater the night it was attacked, and they were not able to do their concert, and they were lucky that they even survived. They came out and played with U2 the song before the very last song. They played People Have the Power by Patti Smith. Both bands joined together, and then U2 graciously allowed The Eagles of Death Metal to play one song. They actually ended the concert, and U2 left the stage and left the stage there for the Eagles of Death Metal to finish by themselves for one song. Just a great gesture. The concert was extraordinary. They had all kinds of interesting videos. And we have excerpts from the concert of different comments that were made from the stage because it was quite extraordinary. The video of this concert is available on cable television now on HBO, Home Box Office. I highly recommend it. It's just absolutely extraordinary. It was so profound. I was so moved emotionally, affected emotionally by it, that the first time I watched it, I got tears in my eyes at least four times that I can remember. It was just very, very moving. We have a collage of comments from the stage that didn't necessarily happen in the order that they're recorded, but these were comments that I collected from throughout this concert that I want you to listen to. Then we're going to play a couple of U2 songs because this is an absolutely extraordinary concert, and it's their answer to the terrorist attacks and the attitude we should take towards the terrorists, and it's just quite profound. At one point, there was this video played of the Earth at night. You can see the light from the cities, and it was, I think, the voice of Stephen Hawking talking about being global citizens. Bono made a lot of comments from the stage as well on a lot of different topics, and this is a collection of those comments from that concert. And then we'll play songs in honor of U2. We're going to do an extraordinary Paris, France live version of Bullet the Blue Sky, which was personalized for that event by Bono. And he sang it both live through his mic microphone that he uses, the wireless microphone, and also through a bullhorn that he uses as well. It's just an extraordinary version of Bullet the Blue Sky. I think it's even better than the live version that was released in the late 80s on the double record album Rattle and Hum. So you listen to it and you decide what your opinion is on it. Here are the comments from the stage as we heard them while we were watching the video of this concert. It's extraordinary. Please listen.
When we see the Earth from space, we see ourselves as a whole. We see the unity and not the divisions. One planet. One human race. We are here together, and we need to live together with tolerance and respect. Our only boundaries are the way we see ourselves. The only borders, the way we see each other. We must become global citizens. Our voices are important. We give our elected officials their power, and we can take it away. Be involved. We are all time travelers, traveling together into the future. But let us make that future a place we want to visit. Be brave. Be determined. Overcome the odds. It can be done.
Liberté, fraternité, égalité, beautiful day.
Hey, Joey. It's worth the times like this to remember what we can accomplish. From people who don't normally hang out together. And we live close to the moment when we can declare the first HIV-free generation. That is something to live for and work towards. So we want to sing this next Paul Simon song. He's a hero of ours. He didn't mind us messing with it. It's not too much. Think about everyone here for COP21. People trying to wrestle the world from food. Leaving stuff behind. Kissing the future. Let go of the past. Tonight, we remember the people who live with this shocking violence every single day. Those who are forced to flee their homes in Kobani and Damascus and Beirut. We think of them in San Bernardino. And I know this may be difficult. We should also think of the families of the terrorists who have lost their loved ones to an ideology which is a perversion of the beautiful religion of Islam, which, as I understand it, means surrender. Surrender to God, which is what I want to say.
Wow, wasn't that great? That was U2 comments live from the Bercy Arena in Paris, France. A week ago today, on Monday, 7 December 2015. But I do want to play this extraordinary live Paris, France version of Bullet the Blue Sky. Listen carefully. It's great.
Thank you.
feels out of my hand. Patting me down. He says I've way more than I need. Way more. He says I've got 100, 200, 300 times more than I need. And he asks, can you see those fighter planes when you're flying on private planes? Can you see those fighter planes when you're flying on private planes? Outside is America. Outside is America. Tonight is America. All of God to look for America. America.
And that was the band U2 in Paris on Monday, the 7th of December, 2015, the 74th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Extraordinary concert. I recommend it. You can find it on cable television on HBO On Demand.
Don Blankenship did not get what he deserves in his federal trial, but he definitely deserves what he got. Guilty, declared all 12 West Virginia jurors who pondered the charge that this arrogant and avaricious CEO of Massey Energy, Inc. willfully conspired to violate America's mine safety laws. As a result of that conspiracy, 29 miners were essentially murdered by the corporation on April 5, 2010, in a horrific explosion deep inside Massey's Upper Big Branch coal mine. Blankenship, a multimillionaire right-wing ideologue, union buster, and political heavyweight, ran the UBB mine like a lawless third-world operator. It was one of the most dangerous workplaces in the country because this kingpin of King Coal relentlessly put profit over people, recklessly endangering miners. But coal is, indeed, king in West Virginia, so the laws are written to coddle the royals of the industry. Thus, Blankenship's guilt is to be punished by a maximum of 1 year in prison, and his diamond-studded legal team intends to have the jury's unanimous verdict of guilt tossed down the dark shaft of judicial favoritism for the rich. What the mining baron deserved was to be put in stocks on the state's capitol grounds, where he would be subjected to a steady stream of derision from the families of mine workers who were degraded, made ill, and even killed to haul up coal so Don could live in luxury. He escaped that justice, but he'll never shake off the guilty judgment of the jurors or of the American people who followed the month-long, widely covered trial that fully documented the rank immorality of this man and his ill-gotten fortune. This is Jim Hightower saying he undoubtedly thinks he got away with murder, but in the court of public opinion, his legacy is that he has turned the name Blankenship into a four-letter word.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is ocean6.net. Again, that's ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours.
Okay, and on to segment four for this edition of Spectrum 360, which is Monday, the 14th of December, 2015. And this is from the Florida Fracking Summit, a speech by Katie Huffling, registered nurse and director of programs at the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments on fracking the environment and human health. This is important information, and she has a take on this that I've never heard because she is not only a nurse, she's a practicing midwife. So she sees this from a medical professional's point of view, and it's actually very extraordinary what she has to say. And she reveals a lot of important information about fracking. So this is important to listen to. And this is a Spectrum 360 exclusive that you will hear nowhere else. So if you want to listen to this and hear it, you're going to need to listen to Spectrum 360. Here is Katie Huffling.
More asthma attacks, cardiac problems. You see ER visits go up, and children are especially susceptible to that. They can't go outside and play like they normally would because they could be more at risk for having an asthma attack. And as a nurse midwife, one of the areas that I'm most concerned about, and one of the areas which unfortunately we have some pretty good data now, is that the growing fetus is exquisitely sensitive to some of these exposures that happen during pregnancy. You know, the air that the mother's breathing in, the water that she's drinking, those are all going, you know, they're mainlining straight to that baby, unfortunately. And with things like the endocrine disrupting chemicals, they impact the hormone system, and the growing fetus, it's like this incredible orchestration of hormones regulating things to help that baby grow properly. And when you disrupt that, you can cause, you know, even at very low doses, some very significant impacts. And so unfortunately, we're now starting to get data that that's playing out. And so it just makes me so mad. I mean, you're so nice. you know, these babies are kind of like the canary in the coal mine. They're the first ones that we're going to be really seeing these health problems in. And so we really need to be paying attention to this data and recognize how important it is that we're seeing these impacts in these kiddos. So one of the first really big studies that came out was out of Colorado. They looked at over 100,000 births. And what they found is in women who lived closest to oil and gas development sites had higher risks of having babies born with heart and spinal birth defects. And they also found that these babies had lower birth rates. And low birth weight is, again, one of those things that sounds fairly benign. But when you have a baby that's low birth weight, they can have significant health impacts, not just right after they're born, where they may have longer stays in the neonatal ICU or other health problems. But babies that are born with low birth weight actually have a higher chance as adult of having significant health problems like high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, things like that. These chronic, very expensive to treat diseases. And they also have lower Apgar scores, and Apgar scores are something that we do right after a baby's born to see how well they're adapting to outside life. And so that means it's just a baby that's a little more stressed out. They're having a harder time, you know, acclimating to the outside world, and that could be because they were more stressed out in utero. And then this study just came out of Pennsylvania, and they looked at more than 10,000 births from the northeastern side of Pennsylvania, which is another heavily fracked area. And they looked at hospital data. And what they found is that mothers living both closest to fracking sites and to the ones that were most active. So these would be the sites where you're going to be getting the most diesel truck traffic, the most emissions, the most likelihood of exposures, that they had a 40% increase in preterm birth. And again, these babies can have significant health impacts. It can be very expensive to treat these babies, never mind the emotional anguish of having a preterm baby. And there was also a 30% increase in being classified by their provider as a high-risk pregnancy. So this could be anything from gestational diabetes to high blood pressure, you know, any number of different things that make that high pregnancy high risk. And again, those are much more expensive to treat and can cause significant health problems for the mother and the baby. Going back to with the confidential business information. And one thing that you wouldn't expect is when these areas where you have explosions and fires or blowouts at these fracking sites, it can be very challenging for both first responders and for health providers in the area to get information on what types of chemicals are being used at that site. As an example, in Ohio last year, there was a huge blowout at a fracking site, and it took both the Ohio EPA as well as the federal EPA almost a week to get information on what chemicals were on that site, and it was a huge blowout. The first responders, they didn't know what to wear to go to respond to it. Did they need to evacuate everyone in the area? What's on the site? They don't know. If you're an ER physician or ER nurse and somebody comes in, you don't know what to treat them for. What do you even look for? So having that information readily available is essential to both the safety for the first responders and community, as well as the hospital staff. And then I'm really worried for the men and women that are working in the fracking fields. I think not enough attention's been paid to the occupational health and safety issues that occur on these sites. Last year, I went down to Arkansas for a meeting around fracking, and we got to go on a tour of some of the fracking sites. And every place that we went, there'd be guys walking around doing stuff on the sites, and not a single one of them had protective, like, respirators on. And a couple of the places that we stopped, everyone, there's probably 30 of us, started to feel sick. Like, your head started aching, felt fuzzy, maybe nauseous. And these guys are there day after day with no respirators on. And who knows what they're being exposed to? Who knows in 10, 20 years if they're going to be developing cancers or some other, you know, weird illnesses that we're just not even thinking of right now. And another scary thing, which they were staying at the same hotel that we were, and the guys would come in and they have overalls on, or like coveralls, and you could smell the chemicals on them. And they had been driving in their trucks, the coveralls on. They came in wearing the coveralls, bringing them into the hotel rooms. So like the staff's being exposed to the coveralls, you know, if they have kids, that, you know, when they're off work, the kids could be in the trucks. They're being exposed to whatever those chemicals are. So they're not being trained in how to reduce exposures for both themselves and, you know, others in the community. Silica dust is of significant concern, and that's what you see in these, the bottom picture and the one on the right. Silica is used, as was explained earlier, you know, to keep the fracks open on the sand there, and it's really fine particles. Even with wearing respirators, it's really difficult to keep it out of the respiratory system, and it causes something called silicosis, which is similar to asbestosis that, you know, you hear about. And so we're already starting to see cases of it. It's going to be a really huge issue for a lot of these guys that have been working around the silica dust. And no one's really looking at this yet, but there's people that live, you know, next to these fracking sites or near where they're getting the silica, and I don't think anyone's tracking whether they're being significantly exposed or not. And besides the things that you would kind of expect from these, we're also getting, I think, some unfortunate other social side effects, which can have significant health impacts for the people in the community. A lot of these, in a lot of the areas, you get these, you know, they call them man camps, where you've got the huge influx of guys coming in. There's nothing to do. There's usually the rural communities, so you get a lot more drinking, drug arrests, a lot more drunk driving. You also have increases in STDs, because again, they don't have anything else to do. And you're also seeing the higher rates of unintended pregnancies where, you know, the guy moves on and the woman's left there with the baby. So, you know, that has its whole own host of issues. In some of these areas, they're not able to handle, like, all these social and health services issues. So the health departments aren't able to handle this influx of workers that may need STD testing and other things. They're just not equipped for this big influx of population. And also the housing prices can go up significantly. And so you can have elderly people on fixed incomes that now suddenly can't afford to rent an apartment in the town that they're in. You know, and that has its whole...
And that's part three of the Katie Huffling speech from the Florida Fracking Summit. That's from Tuesday, the 27th of October, 2015. Great speech. Terry, your final comments for this edition of Spectrum 360.
Well, just want to remind everyone that the political circus continues this week with the Republican presidential debate airing tomorrow and the Democrat presidential debate airing on Saturday. So good entertainment for the politically minded this week.
That's correct. And we'll be covering both those debates on next week's Spectrum 360, as well as the Jim Hightower commentary, ongoing coverage from the Florida Fracking Summit, and a lot more, including a little bit of music. We mix it up every week on Spectrum 360 and jam as much content as we can on this program. And we love it this year. Listen, thank you. We'll meet again next week for Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360radio program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.